Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts, chapter 5. We'll read verses 38 through 42 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts, chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. While you're turning there, I'm going to read one other verse in Acts, chapter 5. I'll be reading verse 28. Saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, Acts chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. We'll read this passage here responsively. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And let's finish on verse 42 together. Ready? And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, this morning the church house was packed. Lord, the altars were busy and full with well over 50 people being saved. The waters of baptism were moved and a dozen or so baptized. Lord, you've just been so good. Well, we get to see you work here more in one service than most churches do in a year. And yet we still stand before you needy. The task is huge. Lord, we have a goal not just for us, but for you. Use our preacher. Help us so that we could go out and reach as many people as possible for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The sermon tonight is a sermon that will help all of us in the Christian life. And it'll help us in general. In a special way, it's going to help us in regard to these days that are special days. Our church is in a perpetual revival. We don't set aside a couple of weeks a year and have a revival. We have revival 52 weeks a year. But there are some weeks that it seems like God does something extra special. Those weeks are our spring, our fall programs, and there are other times, but we are in a time where God is doing something extra special for us. As a result of it, I want to teach us something. I want to challenge us about something. Like I said, it's going to help you. It's going to help you in your Christian life in general. Some of you that are newer Christians, what I'm about to tell you, I don't want you to ever forget it. To the others who've heard it before, let's let it be a reminder, if we could, please. A moment ago, together, we read from Acts chapter 5. The Bible tells us at that time in the church and in history, the apostles were turning their town upside down for Jesus Christ. They were just flat out making something happen. In verse 28 of Acts 5, this is what was said of them. Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. So, you know, somebody meant that as a negative, but to you and I, that's a positive. Somebody was saying, well, you're just spreading that stuff you believe all over the place. Well, thank God for it. But the words, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Now, what happened is some of the authorities brought them in for questioning about it. They were told not to go around talking about Jesus and gathering crowds in his name. Well, Peter speaks up and Peter tells him, I'm sorry, we've got to obey God and just keep reaching people. In verse number 29, he says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Peter tells him, we've got to lift up the Jesus that you rejected and crucified. Peter had quite a bit of courage and boldness here. In Acts chapter 5, verse 30, he says this, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Boy, I'll tell you what, Peter was pretty pointed. They were just tearing it up for Jesus. They got called in, got in trouble, and they were told, don't you go out doing that anymore. And Peter and the apostles said, well, we got to obey God, not you. Matter of fact, we've got to lift up the Jesus that you crucified. As a result of their as a result, these that were persecuting them decided that they actually got together and they plotted a way to kill the leadership. Acts chapter 5, verse 33, it says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay him. Peter had said something that pricked the hearts of those men to the point where privately they said, we ought to kill him. We ought to take him out. Why? I think they knew they took the leader out and then the other apostles and things might scatter. There was a law professor at that time. His name was Gamaliel. G-A-M-A-L-I-E-L. And he warns these people that are now persecuting Peter and persecuting the apostles. And in verse 39, he says this, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. That's the name of my sermon tonight. It's, if it be of God, you can't overthrow it. If it be of God, you can't overthrow it. And so this fellow says to him, if I were you, I'd be leaving him alone now. He's warning these persecutors of the church. So what they do? They beat the apostles and told them not to speak in Jesus' name anymore. In verse number 40, it says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And this is what happened. The apostles walked away. They had just been beaten, and the apostles walked away rejoicing and said, well, thank God we have a chance to suffer for him. It says in verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Then they went right back out and kept turning the town upside down for Jesus Christ. It says in verse 42, and daily and in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Anytime God is doing a great work, there will be great opposition. Anytime God is wanting to do something positive, somebody's going to try to stop it with negative. The devil always tries to discourage God's people, and especially if God is moving in a supernatural way, especially if God is trying to do a great work. I want to tell you, we are in the midst of our spring attendance building program. And I'm going to promise you something. The devil's not happy. I don't think the devil was happy when he looked and seen 1,331 people in church this morning here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I don't think the devil was happy when 52 people, and I'm talking about children and teenagers and adult after adult after adult, walked the aisle, 52 of them trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Hey, folks, so you know, in the last about 20 days, there's been over 300 people saved here at our church. I've got a hunch old Smutty Face is not real happy with us right now. You can be dead sure the devil's going to oppose a church that's doing something for God. And here's the thing. We're just getting started. We're just getting started. We know that in a couple of weeks on April 22, our minimum goal for Sunday school is 2012. Now, do you think the devil is just going to let that happen without opposition? I don't think so. Let's not be blind to the opposition that the devil brings, the persecution that the devil brings when people are making a difference. I believe the more you do for God, the more the devil would like to stop you from doing for God. The harder the devil fights, the greater the work that God must want to do. Folks, if it happened to the apostles, don't you think it's going to happen to us? If it happened to the New Testament church in Jerusalem that was on fire for God, how could God and how could the devil both? How could God not want to use us? But wait, how could the devil not want to stop God from using us? And so the sermon tonight is found in that one little verse there. It said, if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. I thank God for that. If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Now, I want to talk to you about what I believe. I think we're going to face opposition. I think we already do. I think the oppositions that we've faced for 10 years all have something to do with something bigger and better that God wants done. Sometimes we think the opposition's just for this month. No, I think the opposition is where the devil wants to just shut us down permanently, and he's going to work overtime to try to get it done. But wait, I think there is special opposition at a spring program time. Listen to the sermon, if you will, and let it help you. Let me say number one, rejoice in being counted worthy of opposition. Rejoice in being counted worthy of opposition. Remember the verse. We read it earlier. Verse 41 of chapter 5 there in the book of Acts, it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Well, what had they been doing? They were turning the city of Jerusalem upside down. They were spreading their doctrine. They were getting people saved, and people were joining the church. And they got beaten for it. And when the apostles walked away, they said, "Well, feels good to know that I just got in trouble for doing something good." Folks, if you suddenly find yourself facing something discouraging out there from the devil, and especially at this time, I hate to tell you, that may be a good sign. That may be a good sign. Satan probably figures you're about to be maybe he figures you're going to be a contributor on April 22. Maybe he just sees that you're gathering momentum to be productive for God. Maybe you have Satan's attention. I'm glad I go to a church that Satan hates. I am glad I go to a church that Satan hates. I'm glad I go to a church that merits Satan's opposition. Do you know how many churches today Satan probably sits in the pew and says, "Amen. That's good stuff, preacher." I don't think he sits around here and says that. I think he does everything he can to mess up our church services. I think he does everything he can to slow us down. I think he does. And I am honored at the fact that the old devil, old Lucifer, I'm glad he doesn't like us. There's a reason why I think Satan opposes us. The Bible says in Matthew 16:18, it says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And here's the part of the verse I want you to hear. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, here God is talking about somebody is charging the gates of hell. There are gates around hell, and there is somebody that is trying to tear those gates down and snatch people out of the grasp of the devil. Now, I think that's what the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church does. We are charging the gates of hell, and Satan hates it when people start claiming his territory. You know, the devil would like to believe that, the panhandle of West Virginia and up here in Maryland and down in Winchester, up in Pennsylvania, the devil would like to believe all those areas belong to him. Well, I've got news for the devil. We plan to claim some territory. We're not going to roll over and play dead in this wicked world today. We're not going to believe all those religious people out there that say, "Oh, revival's a thing of the past." No, God's alive and God can still do something great. But we're going to be opposed. We're going to be opposed. We don't rejoice in the opposition, but we rejoice in the reason for the opposition. And that is because we are taking territory away from the devil and it angers him. So, may I say, rejoice in being counted worthy of opposition. Number two, Satan may oppose our church by trying to produce disunity in the church. By trying to produce disunity in the church. To have a great victory, the church family must stay unified. Now, does that mean that we're all perfect? No, it does not. But we all believe that Jesus is perfect. And if we'll all just keep our eyes on Jesus while we stumble around and we just keep believing right, God can keep unity in a church. The team must rally around the mighty captain Jesus and then have a great victory for him. That's the goal. When the day of Pentecost came, that was that miracle day where there was the production of 3,000 people saved and baptized. That was a unified church. Now, everybody in the church, were they perfect? No, but they were striving to do what's right. They had pulled together.
In that story of Pentecost, let me read some phrases to you and some words to you. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, in reference to the church at that time, it says they were in one accord. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says they had all things common. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says they were of singleness of heart. What had happened? They all believed that the Bible was the Word of God. They all believed that Jesus was the Savior. They all believed keeping people out of hell was a big deal. Now, were they all perfect? No, they were not all perfect. But they had pulled together and they were all trying to do right. And they were all going in the same direction. And as a result of it, there were 3,000 people saved and baptized in one day. And that was an awful, awful, incredible day. But let me tell you something, folks. The devil wants to soil unity. Don't you be a part of the devil's discouragement of dissolving unity. You know, you could cause discouragement just by being against the big day. Now, I don't know if anybody's like that. I've not met one person that's griping and complaining about the fact we'd like to preach the Bible and teach the Bible to 2012 people. But there's always at least one. I don't know who they are. There's always at least one person that's griping and complaining about it somehow. They always figure out a way. Oh, don't do that. You say, well, I'm just not for it. Well, then just don't be against it. You say, I just can't say amen when you talk about that big day. Then could I give you a little piece of advice? Then just shut your mouth. I mean, be quiet, brethren. Have silence in thy mouth. But my dad would just tell me to shut my mouth or he's going to pop me one. Listen. Oh, we need unity. The devil, you know what the devil wants? The devil wants two bus captains fussing over some rider in an area. Cause disunity. Ruin the spirit. The devil wants two Sunday school teachers to fuss over some student. He's mine. No, he's mine. No, he's mine. Well, folks, just so you know, they're all Jesus's. All right? All right. The devil wants someone in a special way at this time to get mad at me. I promise you, I don't like that. Oh, the devil said, boy, if I can make him mad at the preacher, that'll be good. Maybe I could get his heart down and get him depressed and get him mad at the preacher or get mad at some assistant pastor. Hey, will Satan use you to divert revival energy into petty human differences? That's not what we want. Don't let the devil use you as a tool to hurt God's desire to do something big in our church. The devil wants two people to fuss over who gets the prize. Who gets to count the visitor? Folks, listen, the prize is getting the Word of God out. The prize is getting people saved. I don't mind the prizes and things like that. But boy, let's not let all the tension or the competition come to the point where we have disunity in the church. And I don't think we have that. But I'm warning you, let's not let it happen. That's what the devil would like. Anytime you're about to do something big, the devil comes along and says, I'm going to create some disunity. Hey, and you know what? Your disunity doesn't even have to have something to do with the big day. Just as long as it reduces the spirit and momentum of the church. Devil comes along and pops something in there. And before long, preacher's off track. And I got to go over here and deal with a bunch of people fighting and being mean and rebelling. And you can't put your energy into getting people saved and changing lives. Because you got people that are not getting along and griping and complaining about this, that, and the other. Did you know that there's something more important than some of your petty differences? Somebody's going to die and go to hell. If some of you spend as much time sowing as you do griping and complaining, you could make a difference in somebody's life. Oh, but listen, Satan may oppose a successful day at a church by just trying to get some disunity in the church. Let me say number three. Satan will bring a variety of discouragements to try to hurt the work of God. He'll try to bring a variety of discouragements when something big is on the horizon, when revival is on the horizon. For instance, there's a verse in the Bible. It says in Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, Listen, Is possibly one of the discouragements that could come to you or to somebody? Will someone spread some evil rumor about you? This is a perfect time for evil accusations to be brought against somebody. Did you notice what the Bible says? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Now, why in the world would anybody say something evil about somebody else that is false? That is the devil trying to knock the wind out of church's revival. Be careful of that. Don't be guilty of it. And look, somebody says something bad about you and you say, oh, that it's not even true. And oh, how that hurts. Let me tell you what you do. Just keep on going for Jesus. That's what he said to do. You just keep on going for God. How in the world could the devil discourage us at a time like this? What would he do to oppose us? Well, I'll be honest. It'd be a perfect time for some things to fall apart. Some things. You go out and start visiting, go soul winning on a big day. I'll guarantee you we have more flat tires the week of a big day than any other week. You say, you believe the devil works like that? I believe the devil works like that. I believe it. You'll get a busted water pipe. And if you're not careful, you lose your temper and you cuss it. The devil, he'd like to get you off track. Suddenly, your roof is not leaked. Sure enough, you're getting up momentum. You're excited about serving God. You got plans to serve God. And it rains and the roof starts leaking. The toilet won't flush. You have transmission trouble. Your stove stops working. Folks, I don't know if you go through it, but at my house, when God is about to do something supernatural, I am just flat out paying the price. I'm getting hit from every angle. And I'm thinking, good night in the morning. What in the world? And I think, I know what I did. I just started glorifying Jesus a little too much. And old smutty face is out to knock me down. I just go open the front door of the house and say, go ahead, buddy, destroy what you want. I'm not going to back off. Take the dog. Tired of feeding her. I don't mean that, honey. I'm sorry. That's her dog. Hey, I mean all the way down to that. I believe that the devil will try to destroy things around us to discourage us, and it does. It can get on you. Things start falling apart. You say, what in the world's going on around here? I believe there is a supernatural opposition that comes to a church that is keeping people out of hell. Get ready. You're going to have some bumps at work. I mean, about the time you're excited about serving God and everything's going well, your boss gets upset at you. You get your hours cut back a bit. Might even get laid off. That's the devil. What's he doing? He wants to steal your spirit. It's the way he is. Get ready. You're liable to have some family issue. Out of the blue, the mother-in-law comes over for a week. Thus, you're suicidal and back to the bottle you go. Tell you what, and I really mean this. Families, husbands, and wives, you guard your spirit right now with each other. There are some of you, God wants to use your family, and God wants you to be involved in a revival, and God wants you to see you have a part in the big day, April 22, and the devil, he's going to get in there, he's going to try to get husband and wife a-fussing, he's going to try to get them at odds with each other, and the old cold shoulder, and in it, he quenches the spirit, he quenches the family, he quenches you at church, and you don't get that key sermon of energy that you needed to go out and do something great for God, you better protect your relationships right now. Watch out. Hey, children. Hey, teenagers. In the next 2 weeks, you guard your behavior. Mom and dad don't have to be on pins and needles because you're misbehaving. They need to be able to give themselves to Jesus right now. Hey, may I suggest that you watch your weaknesses. Watch your weaknesses. Get ready. Satan's going to pick at them. He's going to pick at them. Those of you that have a temper problem, in the next couple of weeks, you know what the devil would like? The devil would like for you to go right out here in this hallway and lose your temper and blow your stack and embarrass yourself in front of a bunch of people. And you walk away and say, I don't even want to be around anybody. Well, just about the time when you're supposed to be being around a bunch of people. And that's the way he works. Watch out with that pride. Some of you that really have a repetitive pride issue, which I think is all of us, but watch out for that old pride, because something's going to pop up and your old nose is going to get in the air and you know better than everybody else. And if you were in charge, you wouldn't do it that way. And then before long, you're going to have yourself separated. You're going to quench your own spirit. Hey, those of you that are extra critical, if you have a critical spirit, better watch out. Better watch out. Hey, let me warn you to this point. There are some of you who used to have alcohol and drug problems. Could I warn you? You know what the devil would like to do? He'd like take you out right now. He'd like take you out. Be on guard, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Be on guard. God blesses a church, by the way, that lives right. Did you know that you are a member of this church? And God blesses a church where the people will do right. Do me a favor. Guard your testimony. You watch what you do. You watch how you behave. I've watched God take his hand off of churches because people won't behave. You live right. Be moral. Do right. Tell the truth. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Why? We want God's blessing. Don't you do anything to hurt this church and the revival that God wants to bring to it. Some of you that are phony balonies and you live one way at home and another way at church, get yourself right with God. God could withhold his hand of blessing. I don't want to be responsible for it. Hey, has Satan already convinced you that everybody else is going to take care of the big day? You better be careful. We need you to do your part. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, what could it be? It could be somebody else say something evil about you. It could be that things begin to fall apart. It could be some bump at work. It could be a family issue. It could be the weaknesses in your character. It could be that you've already decided that we don't need you to get it done. It could be sickness could get you down. Hey, it could be some discouragement I've not mentioned. The devil even does that sometimes. Some of you sit up and you listen to what the preacher says. You say, boy, I heard those things that could discourage us. You say, I'd make note of those. And then the devil says, well, that one right there is so smart that if I try to discourage them with something the preacher said, they'll catch it. I'll figure out something else. And before long, you're caught off guard and you're discouraged. And you thought, well, it wasn't one of those things that the preacher mentioned, but I'm down and I'm discouraged. He will hit you. He will blindside you. And he wants you not to be a part of what God's doing. Opposition will come. So I said this. I said, number one, rejoice. Rejoice that we're being counted worthy of opposition. Number two, Satan will oppose by trying to cause disunity. Number three, Satan will bring a variety of discouragements. And that's the list that I just taught you. Number four, let me be honest. Satan attacks leaders and productive people, and he goes after them pretty heavily. That's what he does. And I don't say this because I'm asking anything special from you, but you take a church that's having a revival, Satan will attack the pastor. He'll attack the pastor. Listen, in Luke chapter 11, verse 49, it says, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. When churches are having revival, the devil attacks the leadership. And the God-appointed shepherd of the New Testament church is a pastor. And so, folks, I, I'm not seeking your pity, but I just want you to know there's a price to pay to have an old-fashioned church of revival. Now, and I'm not real excited about paying the price, but I intend to. I'm not here saying, well, bring it on. No, take it away. And if we can have revival without it, I'd be good with that. Now, that means somebody's going to badmouth me. Somebody's going to attack me. In war, it's always a powerful strategy to take out the highest ranking officers. There are people in this room that talk about me on the internet. Thank you. Appreciate that. But I'll tell you, if you're going to have revival, you're going to be opposed. You're going to be opposed. Get ready for hardship. Hey, Sunday school teacher, you're going to have some hardship. I know a lot of Sunday school teachers that have some lofty goals. Do you think the devil's just going to roll over and say, just go right ahead and reach your goal? I'm sorry, it's not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen that way at all. Hey, bus captains, there's going to be some opposition. Hey, ministry leader, there's going to be some opposition. There's some of you, you said, preacher, I'm going to bring 25 visitors that day. Praise God. You might have 25 flat tires between now and then. There's a price to pay. Always is. Always is. And whatever you do, don't do Satan's work for him by attacking the leaders. Encourage the leaders. I was so pleased. Brother Tidwell was preaching the other morning at men's prayer meeting, and he talked about how he and Keith Leonard were doing something together. And he said, Brother Leonard said, "I'll tell you what. I think we're going to have more than 2012. I think we're going to have 2,600. I think we're going to have 2,600. He said, "I believe we're going to probably have 2,600. Brother Kibble said, "I think we're going to have 2,600. I think we're going to have 2,600. Now, I'll tell you something. I like that kind of encouragement. Because you have enough people who'll say, "Ah, that's too many. No way." Listen, folks. The Bible says this. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Encourage one another. Encourage the leaders. Oh, you say, "Well, my leader's not perfect." Is that right? Well, we do have an ultimate leader who is. Your leader's not perfect. Your pastor's not perfect. And you're not perfect. But God, all He has to use is us sinners. You take a good long look at the people that God used in the Bible. Moses killed a man. Paul slaughtered Christians. God used them. They weren't perfect. God needs is some people that want to live right. And they're doing what they can to live right. And they're obeying the Bible. And they're believing the promises of God. And they step out by faith. That's who God uses. But Satan attacks the leaders. Then soul winners, in a very special way, expect opposition. Matthew 5:10 says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life." Here it says persecution comes to those that live righteous. What is the fruit of the righteous? A tree of life. What is that? That's those that are winning souls. There's going to be a certain persecution. Those who are seeing people saved, there'll be persecution. Hey, those of you that you have this desire to see people saved with your ministry in your life, you're going to be rejected by some. Those of you that have a desire to see people saved, you're going to be mocked by some. You're going to be teased by some. You may even be attacked by some. The opposition will come. Now, let me tell you what we need to do. Take me just a couple minutes and I'm done. You say, what do we do? We see opposition is going to come. First of all, know this. Know that God will deliver you. Know that God will deliver you. Oh, listen to this verse. 2 Timothy 3:11 says this. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I've been through the valley. And God delivered me from every one of them. I have been through the wars. And God delivered me in every war. Now you will go through persecutions if you want to be used of God. But we're on the winning side. God will deliver you. Then, I think we ought to count it an honor to be opposed. Look, if you're being opposed, you must be doing something right. I read to you again, Acts 5:41, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." So you all know, I doubt that there's anybody in this room that were beaten for serving Jesus. Your persecution is very minimal compared to what these men went through. And they walked away and said, "Well, just got beat for Jesus. And it was worth it. It was worth it." So, know that God will deliver you. Counter it in honor. Next, don't make things worse. Don't make things worse. Hey, look, if somebody is rude to you, don't be rude back. If you're out visiting and somebody says, "Well, I don't like that church down there," be good to them. You know that if they're lost, they're supposed to behave like lost people. If they're backslidden, then they're away from God. They may not understand us. You and I ought to have our spirits under control enough that people can be nasty and we can be decent. That's how it's supposed to be. Don't make things worse. If persecution comes your way, don't make it worse. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That's good for them, but I'll tell you what else that's good for you too. Look, folks, somebody attacks you and you get all wound up about it, and you start using your spirit and energy to be mad and revenge, you'll get off track for doing something for God. One of the reasons why I forgive my enemies very quick, and I don't want them to tamper with my spirit. I got to stay on top side. I got to keep on going. So I got to be careful that I don't get all angry and huffy and out of sorts and want to kill them. Because I need to use my killing energy for getting people saved. Some of you, you just get all wound up and you're mad at everybody all the time and out to hit somebody. I'm telling you something, you could use that energy a whole lot better winning somebody to Jesus Christ. Number next, don't be surprised by opposition. See it for what it is. The devil's trying to get you off track. The devil hates God's work. See it for what it is. Number next, may I recommend that you keep on going? Keep on going. Don't be stopped. Look, you get out there and you're visiting for the big day and somebody gets on you and they embarrass you a little bit or something falls apart. If you're not careful, you'll put your whiny little tail between your legs and go home to mama. You ought to say, you know what? Those people back there in the book of Acts, they got beaten, went right back out and did what they were supposed to do. That's what you need to do. Don't throw in the towel so easily. Listen, keep on going. Acts 5:28, it says, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Notice, they had filled the area with his doctrine. That's verse 28. Verse 39, it says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. That was their response. And you know what they did? In verse 42, it says, and daily and in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. No matter what opposition was thrown at them, they did not quit. I said this before, I'll say it again. Doesn't matter to me where in Martinsburg Christian Academy or the public school or wherever you go to school. If you play in athletics, you get in there and you make something happen. You say, well, if I'm behind by 15 points, I want to give up. Never give up. Fight to the end. Learn how to make a comeback. Look, everybody has opposition. You just keep going. This I give up because I'm not winning attitude is for the birds. You just keep going. So keep on going. Whatever happens in the next couple weeks, keep on going. You say, preacher, wonder if the opposition starts coming at the church. You know what? I plan to do have over 2012 in Sunday school. That's what we plan to do. But wonder if, no, 2012. But wonder if thus and so happened, 2012. That's the plan. Then let's do this. Let's encourage one another about this truth, about what I'm preaching tonight. Listen, well, you know how it is. You hear something preached and you say, boy, that's good. And I'm going to remember that. And a couple days later, you're in a situation. You forgot all about it. You forgot what you're supposed to do in that situation. Listen, we're all human. And the truth, and the devil wants to steal a truth like this away from us. Hey, in a couple days, husbands, wives, in a couple days, hey, church brethren, when somebody's facing a little opposition, why don't we gently say, you know what? You're facing some opposition, but we ought to pull together and get through this thing. We knew the devil was going to try to slow us down. Right. Encourage one another with this. Don't be one of those morbid people where something begins to fall apart on somebody and you're one of the ones that say, oh, yeah, you're going to die. God hates you. Now, what's wrong with you? I feel sorry for some of you. You got to be married to someone that's negative all the time. Boy, is that hard. Get that positive where you can go on. I know life has negatives. I know that. I preach on that an awful lot about the burdens of life. But God knows I don't tell people to lay there and whine about it all the time. We got to keep on going. That's what we've got to do. Encourage one another. And then finally, why don't we see all opposition as Satan's attack? Don't be blind to Satan's desire to slow us down. Now, I hope that you'll remember those words. If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Let's just have a wonderful conclusion to our spring program. Let's make April 22 a historical day for the great Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And even better than that, for the great God that the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church serves. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here tonight
and you're not saved, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and teach you and show you how to be born again? If you're here tonight and you're away from God, why don't you come and get it straightened out? Hey, there's somebody, you set a goal earlier. You filled out a little sheet of paper. Maybe you need to come down here and pray and say, God, help me to reach that goal. Hey, what's happening in your life right now? Well, if everybody knew the way you were behaving, if everybody knew what you were looking at, who you were talking to and the way you were talking, if everybody knew what you did last night, late last night, when nobody was watching, would it be possible that if everybody knew that, you'd be embarrassed and you say, oh my, could that hinder the blessing of God? First of all, it's hindering the blessing of God in your life. But wait a minute, you're a part of a church family. You ought to protect that church family with righteous living and holy living. Don't you soil the blessing of God on this work. Maybe you need the altar. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play.